We've been in the vision series, and I'm excited this morning to share some vision with you all. And next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. Next Sunday is Next Gen Takeover. It is the first time we've ever done this here at this campus. I'm excited about this. We're going to have a kids choir, so there's no telling what will happen, okay? So just be with, you know, just show some grace on Sunday. There's going to be a kids choir. We're going to have a lot of kids leading worship and students leading worship, and we're going to have some testimonies from students about what God is doing in the Next Gen Ministries, and I'm excited about that. We're actually dedicating some babies in the next service and second service and praying over some families with little ones, and we're pumped about that. Today is going to look a little different. Would y'all agree? That's the AC. Pray for that as well. It's a good day to be a Christian. Would you agree? It's a great day to be a follower of Jesus, and it's a great day to be in the house of God. And if you're, are y'all thankful for Jesus? Would y'all make some noise, give him some praise this morning? Such a great day to be a Christ follower. And today, man, my heart is heavy. I'm just going to be straight up with you guys this morning. It's not going to be a polished Sunday sermon, like not that they typically are, but it's just not going to be that today, and I hope that's okay. I've got a few things that are scribbled on my heart that I want to share with you. The title of this today, and I want you to write this down, is Don't Just Go to Church. Don't just go to church. Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says this in the King James, where there is no vision, the people, what? Perish. But he that keepeth, everybody say keepeth. We're going old school today, baby. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I think everyone could agree here today that anything that has value in your life needs to have vision attached to it. That's your home, that's your family, your relationship with the Lord. But I want to ask you a question before we dive in this morning fully. Does anybody like putting things together here? Anybody like to build things, put some things together? If you're a parent, you have spent, at least you've logged a couple hundred hours receiving gifts at Christmas time for your children. Anybody like putting together those toys? It doesn't make any sense. Just send them with batteries in Jesus' name. It doesn't make any sense. And maybe you've put together IKEA furniture. Any IKEA furniture people? Those instructions, I believe, are from the pits of hell. I'm just saying. I can't understand them. I have never been able to read them. And I know this is true. There's two types of people in the world, in my mind. There's group number one. It's the people who love instructions. You love those little instruction books. You open up that box. Where are my instruction people at? Just the thought of y'all not having those instructions just freaks you out. It stresses you out this morning even thinking about not having the instructions. I just want to encourage you, loosen up a little bit, all right? Live a little. I double dog dare you, next time you get a piece of furniture, throw the instruction manual away and live on the edge, all right? And then there's group number two. Where's my brothers and sisters at? Y'all see, yeah, they call us all stupid, all right? We look at the picture on the box, and we see that little piece of paper in the box, and we just kind of toss it with the rest. Oh, that's trash. Well, you know, I don't need that. And then by the end of the project, we have extra bolts and screws and pieces, and we're like, man, they blessed us with extra parts. It's like, no, you left those off of your kids' playground equipment, and someone's going to get hurt, right? Listen, I want you to see this morning. If we're going to build our life and build our home in a way that honors the Lord, we have to have a clear picture, a vision of what God wants us to accomplish and how we are supposed to build it. We need, I think now, today, in the world today, we need more vision and more clarity than ever before. Amen. It's important to have vision for your life, because the reality is if you do not have vision for your life and vision for your home and vision for your family, then somebody else will. The world, maybe it's a part of the education system, the entertainment industry, social media companies, news outlets, big brands. Did you know all of these different things have vision for your life? And I think it would be devastating that the world would have more vision for your life than you do.
You do not want the world having more vision for your life and for your home than you do. I want to read that again. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So how do we make that personal? Where there is no vision, your family perish. Where there is no vision, your marriage and your finances and your future, it's not going to look good. And so my heart today is that we would lift up our eyes and that we would look into the Word and that we would get vision for our life today, for our careers, for our spiritual life, for our homes. I've learned this, that vision for your home isn't always serious and spiritual. It's also fun. Would anybody agree? I like to have fun in my home. I love to have a lot of fun with my kids, and I haven't always done this and aced this, but we do these things called adventures. They can't say adventures. They call them adventures. And so I'll get home, and I'll tell Kendra, tell the kids when I get home we're going on an adventure, and I'll get home, and Sissy is like, adventure, adventure. And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, but we're going to have fun. I have vision for my home that there's going to be joy and there's going to be laughter. That even when times are hard, I want to take mundane moments and I want to turn them into memories. All it takes is perspective. I want this for our family. I was laughing with Kendra yesterday. We've been watching these renovation videos on TikTok and of these pop-up campers. And I think we're going to be renovating this little pop-up camper soon. And I just think Northwest Arkansas is too beautiful not to get out in it, right? And so we're going to do that with our kids. We've got vision to have fun with them. I want to read this Proverbs 24. This is so good. It says, by wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I think it's interesting. It says, the word says that a home is built, and anytime you are building anything in your life, it's always going to require vision. You're going to get tired of hearing that word today. I'll say it this way. You'll never accidentally have a home and a family that is full of God's presence, full of God's joy, full of love and laughter, integrity and fun. You don't find that on accident. Would you agree this morning? It's intentional. It takes intentionality. I wrote this down. The condition of your home and the condition of your family either happens by default or by design. My prayer is that it would happen by design, that we would be intentional with that. But the reality is I meet with a lot of people that struggle with this. They struggle with this idea of being intentional in the home. Well, Seth, I've messed up too much. I've said too much. I've seen too much. I can't go back. My kids are out of the house. We're empty nesters. We don't have kids. We're a young new couple. I don't know how to have vision. I've never seen vision for a home. Listen, if your life is in neutral, you will naturally drift away from vision and values that you have established for your family. And so my heart today, if you hear anything I say today, please hear this. Put a stake in the ground. Today is probably more important than ever before in history. Today, put a stake in the ground and set your eyes on heaven. Set your eyes on Jesus. Have some vision for your family. We've made our vision very simple here at the church. It's our desire is to help people become fully devoted followers of Christ. Following Jesus, growing together, serving one another, and living on mission. We want that here, but we also want that in your home as well. So I want to be honest with you this morning. When it comes to vision in the home, I haven't always got this right. There's actually been quite a few times that I've messed this up since we've moved to Fayetteville. For those that don't know, we moved up here almost 2 years ago, the beginning of December. It'll be 2 years. And I can remember vividly about 14 months ago, life was pretty chaotic. Anybody that asked, hey, how's it going? We would just say, you can ask all the staff, we would just say, we're just trying to survive. It was new. It was new relationships. It was new friends. It was new people. It's a new church. There was a lot of things going on. We're trying to figure this out, and I'm doing something I've never done before, trying to parent young kids, trying to be married, I was drinking from a fire hydrant is what I was doing, and I was learning so quickly these lessons, and some of them I completely missed. But this is what you need to know. I had a ton of vision for the church. I had so much vision for the church. I mean, if you cut me, I bleed vision. Anybody that hangs out and gets spend time with you, you know I'm a visionary. I talk vision. I talk about the future. I talk about what's next. I talk about these things. Well, I'm at home, and I'm talking about all this vision with Kendra. And it's late at night. We're laying in bed, and I'm sitting up in bed and talking about all these things and all the future of the church, the teams, leadership teams, staff, and people, and life groups, and serve groups, and all of this stuff. And Kendra leans up in bed, and she says a phrase that I did not want to say on stage today, but I want to share this with you. She leaned up, and this was about 14 months ago. She leans up in bed, and she looks at me, and she says, "Babe, I can't wait for the day that you have this much vision for our family that you do for the church." And then she slowly laid back down in bed, and I sat in that same position until the next morning. My eyes are wide open. I'm replaying all of the things that I had missed. How have I missed it? I've been so distracted by good things. Has anybody ever been in a place like this? Like my eyes were off of what was most important in my home. I had realized that for a season of my life, I had more vision for other people's kids than my own. I had more vision for other people's marriages than my own. I had more vision for God's house, the church, before my own house and my own family. And I tell you that this morning, not because I'm proud of that, but I want you to know that if you walked in here this morning and you are struggling when it comes to having vision for your home, it's never too late to get it right. You can get it right. You can make a move today. That next morning, I laid awake in bed until I had to leave to go to Central Arkansas for some meetings that next day. I'm driving there in silence and had this meeting, and I'm on my way back to Fayetteville, and I'm coming through Morrilton, Arkansas. I didn't know if you knew this, but God can speak even in Morrilton, Arkansas. And I pulled my car off the freeway, and I mean, it was like the closest thing to an audible voice from the Lord. I wrote this stuff in my notes. This is what I wrote down from the Lord. "If you take care of your bride, Seth, I promise you I'll take care of mine. If you focus on building your house and building your family, I promise you I'll build mine. Seth, from this day forward, do not let anything flow out of you into the church that has not first overflowed out of your home." And I thought that was a word from God just for like a season. But can I tell you this morning with confidence, that's the rest of my life, baby. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to put on a front and act like things are great. I'm going to kind of tell you how it is. You don't ever have to wonder, how is Seth doing? I usually just kind of tell people how I'm doing, you know. Our staff knows that. Leah's laughing. She knows. I just want to get this right. And I want our church to get this right. I encourage you. I want you to do these three things. Would you write these down? If you're wondering, where do I start, what do I do, write this down. Face the reality of where you are currently at. Face the reality of where you're currently at. Number two, ask God and mentors, trusted people in your life, to show you what to do and when to do it. And then the last part is very simple. Then simply what? Do it. Face the reality of where you're at. Ask the Lord and ask mentors, some people in your life that you trust, what you should do, when you should do it, and then simply do it. I love this quote. The same God who turned water into wine, parted the Red Sea, spoke the world into existence, and created you with his hands is the same God that wants to transform your home today. He wants to transform your life and your marriage and your future and your finances. He is still in miracle-working business today. He wants to transform you. Would you write this down? God has vision for your home. God has vision for your home. This is for your life, your family, and your future. Not only does God have vision for your home and for your life, but he wants to reveal that vision to you. When I was a youth pastor, for those that don't know, I was in youth ministry for many years before moving up here. I absolutely loved working with high school students, and it just keeps you young, and it makes gray hairs appear really quickly. And I loved being a youth pastor, loved our students so much in Little Rock. But I had this conversation, even with a few adults as well, and they would say something along the lines of this: I just wish there was an instruction manual for this crazy life. And I would listen intently. Why wouldn't God just lay everything out? And I'm like, and y'all are probably thinking what I'm thinking, right? Like, why wouldn't he just write it down? I'm like laughing, and I kind of snark, you know, I kind of have a snarky response. It sounds like this: you are so right. You're so right. Wouldn't it be amazing if God left a blueprint for us? How cool would it be if he preserved like a book or something to like guide us to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? And they're like, yeah. What if he left you like a weapon? And it's maybe like this really cool sword. It's alive and active. It's sharp. And it can instruct you and lead you. What if he left you a shield that could protect you from the fiery darts of hell? And I just go on and on. You know, I could have fun with this all day. How awesome would it be if God would speak to someone and he would write it in stone? And they're like, this sounds amazing, you know? We have the Word of God. And I don't know if you have watched the news, church. I don't know if you have flipped through social media. You've probably seen all kinds of crazy stuff that's partially true and whatever. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need it to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. There is so much that is happening across the world today. People are scared. People are fearful. There's so much darkness and evil and hate and confusion and sin and rebellion, and the list goes on and on. So what are we supposed to do? What is the church supposed to do? What is your family supposed to do? What are you supposed to do as a Christ follower? I want you to make a promise to me today that you would open the Word of God in your home, that you would make your home holy, that you would go home, and if there's something in your home that doesn't need to be there, that you would be bold enough to be the one that gets rid of it. I'm just gonna speak from my heart today, church. That you would open the Word of God, that you would get rid of some stuff that doesn't need to be present in your home, that you would pray with your kids and your spouse. If you're single, that you would pray and that you would believe for God's best for where we are at today in the world. Worship God and seek Him daily. This is true. The world is not falling apart. It's actually coming together just how God said that it would. Is that not a sobering thought? The world is not falling apart. It's actually coming together. If you want a sobering passage of scripture to read, go read Matthew 24 today. With your family, read Matthew 24. It says there will be many false prophets. There will be wars and rumors of wars, but don't be alarmed. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and persecution and earthquakes. Many will turn away from the faith and betray each other. Does this sound familiar? Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. It goes on. It says, and this gospel will be preached in the whole world. Everybody say the whole world. It says it'll be preached in the whole world as a testimony, and then the end will come. And I just want to encourage you today that there's still a couple billion people who have not heard the gospel, in theory. And so if there's still a couple billion people that have not heard the gospel, I don't know if Jesus is returning today or tomorrow. Are y'all with me today, church? So fear not, because who has overcome the world? Jesus. But if we don't open the Word of God, then we will believe everything that we hear. We will believe every Christian TikToker that is making a video telling you about the end of the world and whatever else is to come. And I'm telling you, you have to cling to the truth of God's Word now more than ever before. Do not fear. Do not lose heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. The rest of the message today, I want to simply read you some scripture. We're going to spend a few moments in worship in a little bit. Romans 12, if you've got your Bible, I believe this is a word for the church. Not this church, but the capital C church today. Paul's instructing believers. He's saying, we'll start in verse 3. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body." Everybody say the church. This is the church, capital C church. "For each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it's to lead, lead diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." I want to pause real quick before reading the next part. If you are here this morning, I don't want to assume that you know what your gifts are. I want to encourage you, if you are here this morning, you don't know your gifts, I want you to stop by the Welcome Center on the way out. We have these little, it's a 2-page packet. It's not homework for you, but take it home with you and do it, all right? And it is a spiritual gifts assessment. If you have never taken it, I encourage you to take it. If you've taken it many years ago, I encourage you to take it again, because I want you to know how to use your gifts in the world today. This next part is the secret sauce to living in a crazy world that we live in. If you're ready for the next part, say, "I'm ready." It says, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love." If we could do this, church, we would see change break out everywhere. "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." That's a word for somebody. "On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." Some of y'all just read, "I'm going to heap burning coals on their head." Read it in context, all right? Verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with" what? Does that not sound like the perfect church? That's it. We could just read that over and over the rest of the day and call it done. That's it. This is God's vision for you. This is God's vision for your home. This is God's vision for his church. But there's a reason I left out the first two verses. If you notice, I didn't read verse 1 and 2. And this sets up the whole thing. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you." He's saying, "I am pleading with you." Everybody look at me this morning. I am pleading with you, church. I am begging you to please, please, please get this. "Brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then, everybody say then. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Does anybody want that? His good, pleasing, and perfect will? If you want to do that, I want you to write this down. Do this. Die to yourself daily in order to live for him. Die to yourself daily in order to live for him. I think it's so beautiful that God's intention for you, for me, for our family was to never be a Sunday sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. I'm going to say it again, just in case you missed it. His goal for us was to never be a Sunday sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Meaning, he never intended for us to check Sunday off the list, go to church, and then get on with the rest of our week. He wants a living sacrifice. The audience that he's talking to here knew exactly what this meant because they would bring animals before this time and they would put them to death at the altar. And so what in the world does it mean? How can you live and die at the same time? Is anybody else wondering, what is a living sacrifice? How do you live and how do you die at the same time? You live for the Lord, which means you put to death your own will and your own desires. You put to death your own ego and your own pride. Church, if we just did that today, we would be great. Life would be great. He says a living sacrifice. It's good, it's perfect, and it's pleasing to God. You've heard me say this. I want us to get really familiar with this simple prayer, and I'll explain it, so don't think I'm weird as I say this. It's very simple. It's kill me, fill me, and send me. Kill me, not like physically, so bear with me. Fill me and send me. Kill my flesh. Kill my own desires. Kill my ego. Kill my pride. Kill my desire to be right. Kill my opinions. And then fill me with your spirit, God. Fill me with your love and your grace and your mercy and your joy. And then send me to do your will. I had a phone call with a friend last week from Central Arkansas, and he was calling about one of his friends, and he was asking, he's like, man, can you pray for this person? He said, their marriage is falling apart, and he was going on and on about this situation, and I was like, dude, I would love to pray. It's an honor to be able to help people when they're in pain, like, and I was asking for the details, and then this is what I've learned as a pastor. I've learned to ask this question. I encourage you to ask the question too. I've learned to ask this question. I said, is their spouse a Christ follower? Is their spouse a Christ follower? Because I knew the guy. I knew he was a follower of Jesus. And the guy, my buddy I was talking with, this is his response. He says, what do you mean? He says, I'm trying to help their marriage. And I said, is the spouse a Christ follower? Are they a Christian? And he said, well, Seth, they go to church all the time. And as y'all know, I kind of started smiling over the phone. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, dude, they've gone to church their whole life. Yes, she's a Christian. And I just had a moment, and it changed the direction of this message this morning. They've gone to church their whole life, but I asked again, but are they a follower of Jesus? This is going to step on some toes this morning. There was a silence on the phone. Like you could have heard a mouse fart. It was silent. And he says, Seth, I'm not tracking with you, man. And I said, are they a Christ follower? I said, hey, man, there's a difference in church attendance and following Jesus. There's a difference in checking the box on a Sunday and then living your life as a living sacrifice for God. Knowing if she's a Christ follower changes the whole situation, because if she's not, she lives by a whole different rule book. Is she a Christ follower? He said, bro, I'm going to have to call you back. I don't know. And then, we talked some more later on. It was great. But I think there's something to be said about that, church. That there are people that believe stepping foot into a church building and occupying a comfy seat secures your seat in heaven. And I'm not trying to, I pray the Holy Spirit will convict today. That's what I want. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But what I'm telling you is that I would rather you serve the Lord diligently every single day of the week and never attend church than to come here on a Sunday, occupy a seat, never put faith in Jesus, never trust the Lord, and call yourself a Christian. Well, Seth, that's going to hurt church attendance. I could care less. Because the days that we live in today, we need people on fire for the things of God. Can I get an amen? We need people that believe the word of God and then do what it says. Well, Seth, I'm unsure. I don't know if I want to follow Jesus. You will always have a place in this church. If you are trying to figure out the faith, I got saved at New Life Church 12 years ago. It changed my life. But let me tell you, if you're calling yourself a Christ follower, you need to be a follower of Christ. Because people need to see the lights of Jesus in the world today. It's just like saying if you stand in a garage, then you're a car. Or if you lay in the ocean, now you're a fish. If you come to church, it doesn't make you a Christian. There's a moment where you need to sacrifice your flesh and your will and your way and say yes to Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's the best decision I've ever made. Would you write this down? We wrote it down at the beginning of church today. Would you write this down? Don't just go to church. Some of y'all are going to write down, don't go to church. Don't write that down. I want to see you next week. Don't just go to church. I know this message is different than normal, but guys, we need people living out what they say they believe. Now more than ever, including myself, we need to do what James says. Don't just be readers and hearers of the word, but do what it says. This is what I pray. I prayed this week. I pray that when church service ends on a Sunday, it begins in your life. I pray Monday through Saturday, there would be so much happening in your home, in restaurants, in the city, in your workplace, that you can't wait to get to the church building on Sunday to celebrate with the saints all that God is doing. That's what I pray. Meaning that service ends here in this building on a Sunday, and then service begins all throughout this region. What would it look like if that church existed? That service ends in this building and then serving begins in your home. Serving begins in your job, in your marriage, that you're the first to say sorry, that you're the first to grab the door, that we leave a tip at a restaurant. Amen, somebody. That we would show people the love of Christ. Today's really simple, that we would be living sacrifices, not Sunday sacrifices. God is not wanting you to sacrifice your Sunday to Him. He's asking for you to live your life sacrificially for Him. Amen? If you would stand to your feet. I want to read Romans 12 again. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing out a new song. Kristen's going to sing this song. And the lyrics, I just want these lyrics to wash over you. Lord, offend my mind to reveal my heart. Because I don't want to worship my preference anymore. Romans 12, let's read this. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, let this wash over you this morning, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body." This is the church. "And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy. If it's to encourage, give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully." This is the secret sauce right here. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Please let this become who we are. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. It gets hard. This is hard. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Lord, kill my flesh. But be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It's mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. It says, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good."